And you are listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. Coming up next is Ecologic. Still on for 1 hour. I don't know how much longer. And let me see if I can get my energy up.
It whole again. I believe we can make it whole. They paved paradise, put up a parking lot. With a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paved paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on polluting the earth, then tell me where we gonna plant our seed. It makes me wanna cry for the children.
See a windmill go, feel the pull of an ocean wave, the heat from a volcano. There's so much we could do, there's so much we could know, if we listen to the earth.
Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
And I'm Donna Stein.
And this is Ecologic for January 21st, 2020, here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. When your air or water is clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
On today's news and announcements, youth climate lawsuit, 5G rally, and the People's Music Network.
And from Nicholas Kuznets and David Hassemeyer on InsideClimateNews.org comes news that seems bad, but maybe isn't in the long run. Regular listeners know about the youth in Oregon that sued fossil fuel companies over climate change and won, but a higher court found an appeal for fossil fuel, but also said that neither the plaintiff nor the courts had standing to make this decision, that it must be made by government or voters. So they passed the buck, even while stating that government had indeed not only failed to act to limit emissions, but had actively promoted fossil fuel development. Judge Andrew D. Hurwitz of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals wrote for the majority in a 2-1 decision. Reluctantly, we conclude that such relief is beyond our constitutional power. Rather, the plaintiff's impressive case for redress must be presented to the political branches of government. Now, that's a judge who found in favor of fossil fuel. The majority also said the plaintiffs had met 2 legal standards by establishing that they were suffering real and concrete injuries from climate change today, and that federal government policies had played a direct role in contributing to those injuries. But they added, the courts are in no position to administer a plan as complex as would be needed to end the use of fossil fuels and eliminate greenhouse gas emissions. It was on this basis that the majority decided to dismiss the suit.
But in a dissenting opinion, Judge Josephine L. Staten wrote that her colleagues had effectively thrown up their hands in dismissing the suit. She wrote, "The mere fact that this suit cannot alone halt climate change does not mean that it presents no claim suitable for judicial resolution. A federal court need not manage all of the delicate foreign relations and regulatory minutiae implicated by climate change to offer real relief." Julia Olson, executive director of Our Children's Trust and a lead lawyer for the plaintiffs, said they plan to appeal the decision to the full 11-person court of the Ninth Circuit. Both the Obama and the Trump administrations tried to stop the court case from proceeding at all.
This Saturday, January 25th, there will be a rally to stop 5G on Earth and in space. This is part of a global event to highlight the perils of 5G wireless technology with actions in over 30 countries. Speakers will include NYU professor Mark Crispin Miller and many others, plus music, on the steps of the New York Public Library, 41st Street and Fifth Avenue.
What time was that?
That's 2:30 p.m.
The FCC recently granted permits to 8 companies, including Amazon, Facebook, and SpaceX, to launch more than 50,000 5G satellites into space. 50,000. If activated, these satellites would blanket the entire planet with harmful microwave radiation. The constant exposure to this radiation could drastically alter the Earth's natural magnetic Schumann resonances. Schumann resonances were predicted in the 50s, discovered in the 60s, and new information is still coming out about them. They might be used to measure global temperatures, for example.
Thousands of 5G satellites requiring massive amounts of rocket fuel would further disrupt our climate and generate tons of space debris. Add to this, putting up millions of what they call terrestrial close proximity antenna. In other words, 2 or more per city block, with damage to our health that is unprecedented. Come to the rally this Saturday, January 25th at 2:30 p.m. at the library, 41st Street and 5th Avenue.
And they expect that to go until about 4:30, so don't wait till last minute. Attention folk musicians and political folk music fans. The People's Voice Network is gathering this weekend. It starts with a concert Friday at 7:30 at 320 West 37th Street between 8th and 9th Avenue in Manhattan. Then on Saturday and Sunday, workshops and song sharing at Central Park East 2 School or East 11th School?
East 2.
Oh, okay. That's at 433 East 100th Street. In Manhattan.
Yeah, repeat that address.
Sure. That's Central Park East 2 School at 433 East 100th Street in Manhattan. And that is the People's Music Network. You can go to www.peoplesmusic.org.
Environment TV airs on Manhattan Neighborhood Network every other Sunday at 11 a.m. and is often a video version of Ecologic. And sometimes it airs other parts of the week as well. They like the show. They repeat it. If you miss any WBAI show, it should be on the WBAI.org archives 5 or 10 minutes after the show ends. To read the full articles we summarize on any episode of Ecologic from the past few years, we link to all those articles on the EcoLinks page of the Ecologic website, www.ecoradio.org. Our Facebook page is WBAI Ecologic, no spaces or dashes, WBAI Ecologic. And please click like. For more environmental news, go to theenvironmenttv.com, biologicaldiversity.org, or ecowatch.com. www.ecoradio.org is the main Ecologic page. And I'll get you two past guests, the EcoLinks page, and our own permanent archives, ecoradio.org.
So I'm calling it in this evening.
Literally.
And, literally. and I am going to go back downstairs to a board meeting of Hudson River Sloop Clearwater. So have a great show, everybody.
So you made yourself late for the meeting just to help us with our news.
No, the meeting's been going on for an hour and a half.
Oh, so you just took a break.
I have to go down and make a presentation on a New York City event for Clearwater. So they're I'm going right to speak on the radio to speak in front of a large group of people.
Okay.
It's a busy night.
Yes. See you when you get back.
All right. Have a great show.
Yep.
Bye, everybody. Oh, and we do need people to sign up and become BII buddies. So I'd like to put a plug in for that, and I'd like it also to call in and tell the program director that you love our show and you want us to stay on. That always helps. Every little call to your elected official helps, and every little call to our officials help.
Well, she's only thinking of reducing Eagle Logic to half an hour.
Don't even put it out into the atmosphere.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, no, we're cool. All right, so look forward to more interacting with people at events. So anytime you see us doing an event or out, like we had this wonderful event with the fundraiser at People's Voice Cafe a couple of Saturdays ago. So we love to meet you guys. So come whenever you can.
All right, good luck at the meeting.
Thanks, bye.
Bye. And that was Donna Stein. And I'm Ken Gale, and I am with one of the foremost energy experts and consultants in New York City.
Nice of you to say that.
Well, it's been true for a long time. I mean, you've saved thousands of megawatts of electricity over your relatively long career.
Thousands of megawatts, okay. Might be wild exaggeration, but okay.
Not by much. Not when you add all the decades you've been doing this.
Thank you.
And move the mic a little closer to yourself.
Okay. How's that?
Yeah, you want to be pretty close to it.
Okay.
And so I'm with Andy Padian, who has been doing this a long time. Andy and I were members of the Metropolitan Solar Energy Society.
In the 70s.
Yeah, late 70s, early 80s. Been a long time. I ran into somebody who still had the minutes for those meetings.
I have them.
And I was amazed at all the people who are still working in lowering energy use and finding alternative sources. People have been doing this a long time.
And shockingly still alive.
And yeah. And so when I asked you about coming on today, I really loved your response. Very forward-thinking, as you are.
Well, I wanted to talk about electrification because that's the new buzzword. And we're not talking about rural electrification where people have no electricity. We're talking about places like New York City where we have carbon-based heat and like oil and gas boilers. And people would like us to convert those to electric-based. Under the guise of electricity is cleaner than fossil fuel. But currently, the electricity in New York State is generated kind of a third by over a third by carbon-based fuels. And from the plant to the plug, we get about 30% efficiency. So,
I heard we lose two-thirds of the BTUs of the fuel in waste heat, and then we lose half of what's left in the transmission.
It's not that bad. Plants have gotten better in efficiency. But we're converting to electric because soon we're going to be running everything on solar. And we don't have a plan to do that, and
right.
We don't have the I've been buying wind energy for at least 25 years and get whatever Con Ed gives me. and for the privilege of paying for my wind energy, which I'm for my electricity because I want to subsidize wind energy. So I'm all behind that. But if you start converting when we don't have the electricity and it's significantly more, and it's significantly more carbon, I compare it to trying to start a restaurant and renting the space and buying the dishes and getting napkins and the tablecloths and hiring an art people, hooking up the TVs and the internet and all the cash registers, but having no menu, no chef, no restaurant theme or food is going to be. So we're making all, we don't have the basis ready. So I don't of alternative energy, but I don't want people telling me that we need to start electrification now, particularly in New York City apartment buildings. And I bring this up to people. I'm going to handle rent regulation with that. If you take someone who gets steam or hydronic heat, gas or oil in their apartment, and you give them a heat pump, now that increases their electric bill.
Right.
Are you going to reduce their rent? Because if their rent stabilized, or the few people that are rent controlled, you by a dramatic amount to stop providing them heat and hot water. And we can change a lot of buildings from steam to hydronic, and we can change a lot of high efficiency and reduce carbon significantly. Invest in energy efficiency, which I've worked in a lot of buildings. I counted one day that I've done over 2,000 energy audits in multifamily buildings. Recommendations of under 30% or 40% savings in a building. That's,
and you said this out.
Most of the stuff I save is carbon, gas and oil, because owners don't want to do electricity stuff. The lights in the hallway are fine. I want people to start investing in on a seminar, and the seminar was about it was a webinar about initiatives for commercial buildings and how to reach the 20 by 30 or 50 by 30 reductions that
who
they
hosted
wanna,
the webinar
a group affiliated with a lot of New York State. But the things they talked about was electrifying New York City buildings, energy, and they talked about build efficiently. And I always listen to the people that tell me, well, we're building all these new buildings and in this way, but 50 years from now are still going to be here that we have today.
Right.
So we need to start retrofitting the ones that we have and making them more efficient, because if you keep saying we need what that's really saying is we need to keep nuclear power. Because right now, a third of the electricity in New York State, my notes say 33% on the button in New York State is nuclear power.
And I talked to NYISO about those figures, and they admitted that the figures are wrong because of all the electricity use in New York, for example, all solar panels, as supplying electricity.
If they're not hooked to the grid.
Even if they're hooked to the grid. Mm-hmm. Even if a solar panel is supplying electricity to the grid, they include it as a lowering of demand, not an actual electricity source. All the municipal power sources, either. NYISO only includes utility-supplied power. So it's got to be centralized or NYISO doesn't recognize it.
So on Indian Point number 2 is going to be shut down. And a year later, Indian Point 3 is scheduled to be shut down. And getting into the Super Bowl betting pool, I want to on when it is going to be announced down. I'm guessing it's about April 15th. Be asked to continue to run out of the kindness of their heart for another year or two. When the Champlain Hudson Power
canceled,
according to their website today, it's up and running. It's going to start construction this year, and it'll be finished by 2024, according to them.
So they announced they were not going to do it, and then they're...
It says they're up and running.
I can believe that they're trying to stop opposition to it by saying that it's not happening.
So,
but they lied to us again.
Well, but a trivia question for you, Ken.
Okay.
And this is also very timely. What's the difference?
One measures temperature and one regulates it.
Very good. See how much?
Yeah.
So it was very strange to me. I was listening to the Mars yesterday, and they quoted jail in 1963, and Reverend Church was very powerful in the thermometer that recorded the ideas and principles of popular opinion. It was the thermostat that transformed the mores of society. And I think we need to have a few more thermostats around. I think we need to regulate these things. And I don't mean the utility structure. I mean talk to people and say we need to start investing more things because electricity is perfectly good power, and I use it. I use a third of what the sometimes significantly less. But whenever we use electricity, we're also using water, and we're using a lot of it. It costs about a gallon of water to use any kilowatt hour, 1 gallon per kilowatt hour. And if you think about the Indian day, they use more water than the city of New York.
Yeah, I understand the it's of water.
It's frightening. And they take a plant and reintroduce it into the Hudson.
Right. Everybody added.
It's not. Let's say there's no radioactivity, just for argument's sake. But the heat today is equivalent to the heat from the Hiroshima bomb. It's an incredible amount of heat. Now, yes, the Hudson's huge, and it can absorb that heat, but it can't keep absorbing it every day. And
yeah, I wonder if the waste heat from the nuclear plants in the Arctic Ocean in Russia are having any effect on melting the Arctic ice cap, which then, of course, affects the weather throughout the Northern Hemisphere.
I don't know. I'm always concerned about water use. And when I talk to multifamily building owners, their biggest bill of all of the stuff that they consume, gas, oil, electricity, water is their biggest bill. Mm-hmm. And it's bigger than oil or gas by a factor of 2. So if a building's using $1,000 a year per apartment for gas, they're using $1,700, $1,800, $1,900 per apartment for water. And water is something that we need to conserve more of. It's a money-saving thing. And I, when I talk to building owners, I don't say green, and I don't say LEED, and I don't say carbon. I say money. So when I'm saying money to them, they get it. And I talked to an owner one time who told me, my water bill's killing me. I must have a lot of leaks in my building. And I was like, well, yeah, it's your toilets. Your toilets leak at the flapper valve. So he said, no, they don't. My plumber told me they don't. And I said, how old's your plumber? And he said, he's 80. I said, it's time for your plumber to retire. And if I can quote a genius on toilets, you turn... People are flushing toilets 10 times, 15 times, as opposed to once. They end up using more water. You know who said that?
Who?
Our president said it a month ago. And this owner in New York City, I convinced him to replace his toilets with super efficient 1.1 gallon per flush. And in 1 month, his water bill went down 40%. 40. Mm-hmm. It paid
almost
for
half.
It paid for itself in a year and a half. Now, in another building, all we did was change shower heads and the things at the end of the faucet, the aerators, and I have to look at the numbers on this. That's all we did in a subsidized 131-unit senior rent-subsidized apartments. We cut water use by 21% in the building.
So almost a quarter.
A shower head costs about $8. Two aerators cost about $6.
Mm-hmm.
So this is big money that owners can do. But then we have someone saying, and I quote, "You turn on the faucet, you don't get any water. They take a shower and water comes dripping out. It's dripping out, very quietly dripping out." You know who said that, Ken, right?
The same person?
The same
person,
yeah.
And you're listening to Ecologic on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. I'm Ken Gale, and Donna is at a Clearwater board meeting, and I am with great energy consultant Andy Padian, and talking about how to lower greenhouse gas emissions by simply using less electricity. Every time you're using electricity, something is being burnt, usually. That's the normal way electricity is provided. They burn something. When they burn something, that means greenhouse gases are being created. And, of course, when they ship the stuff that's being burnt, if it's methane, methane is leaking through those pipes and going into the atmosphere, where it's 120 times worse than when they burn it. So using less electricity really helps deal with climate change better than anything. I mean, there was a show on BAI this afternoon that played a rally complaining about Con Ed's rate hike. And they said we shouldn't be using pipelines and I think they called it natural gas and not methane. We should be using the geothermal, solar, and wind. Never mentioned energy efficiency. Energy efficiency is on almost no one's radar, and yet it's cheaper to do. You can do it right away. I mean, you could make your home more efficient tomorrow. There's all these different things you can do. Building owners can do it even more so, and yet environmentalists don't mention energy efficiency. It drives me crazy.
Strangely, I was in a bar the other day, and my friend that owns the bar was going around and changing the light bulbs.
Hmm.
And I said, "Why are you changing the light bulbs?" And he said, "Because they burn out." And I looked at them and I said, "Those are incandescent bulbs. And incandescent bulbs are really inefficient and they don't last very long. If they're burning 24 hours a day, they last about 9 weeks." And so I said to him, "You know, you can get those exact bulbs." They were little tiny bulbs, what are called candelabra bulbs. "So you can get those as LEDs." "No, you can't." "And you can get them as dimmables." "No, you can't." So I walked down to Home Depot, of all places. And by the way, if you ever go into Home Depot and you see a person that's wearing a bib that says lighting expert, don't talk to them. read a book on lighting, you know, or
a website
or a good website on lighting. So I found the bulbs right away. And the thing is that he's got bartenders that come in the morning and they've got to check all the bulbs and change them. And that's wasting their time doing stuff that's important, like cleaning the place, like setting up, like making drinks, like making money. And I said to him, "You know, if you have an LED bulb and you put it in and it burns 24/7, it'll probably last about 5 years." He said, "No, it won't." I'm like, "Here's the data. Here's what it is." So, and this is the kind of argument you have to have with building owners.
Right.
It's like, here's another famous quote. Let me see if you can figure out who said this, Ken. "The light bulb. They got rid of the light bulb that people got used to. The new light bulb is many times more expensive. And I hate to say it, it doesn't make you look as good. A of course, being a vain person, that's very important to me. It's like it gives you an orange look. I don't want an orange look. And let me give you a hint. This is a person that wears orange makeup. Yes, our president said that a month ago. And he actually said it also at a rally the day before yesterday. And what I have to go to owners with is, okay, you can buy a bulb, and I always take the cost of the bulb and the cost of the energy that it will use over its lifetime.
Sure.
So a bulb that lasts 9 weeks, the cost of the bulb and the cost of the energy is $30.50. Or you can buy a bulb that lasts 14 months, burning 24 hours a day, and costs $66 for the bulb plus the electricity. Or you can buy a bulb that lasts 5.7 years and costs $100. So it ends up down from like 50 cents a day to 5 cents a day to buy it. And now LED bulbs are so subsidized. It's like they used to be $7 a pop, and then they were $5. Con Ed sent me something in the mail the other day, bulbs for $1. So they're subsidizing them everywhere. And once you change your whole house to LED bulbs, and you can get them bright enough, and you can get them yellow if you want them yellow, and soft white if you want them soft white. I was shocked that Home Depot on 23rd Street had a wide array of lighting, LED lights, and different colors, white bulbs, yellow bulbs, you know, natural light. And there were people there that actually knew what they were. And you can instead go to a lighting supply store and really get a wide range of things. And you can change all the bulbs in your house. And I changed all the bulbs in my house probably 4 years ago. And I've had three that burned out. And all three that burned out, I put them right back in the box I got them in, mailed them to the manufacturer with a note and said, this burned out. And I didn't have a receipt. I didn't have anything. And they sent me back a new bulb. So this is something, I mean, when I switched to there's two things that I did to really reduce electricity in my apartment. One was switching to LED bulbs, and the other was getting rid of cable TV. Because the cable TV box is like having another refrigerator in your house. Even when you turn it off, it runs and uses as much electricity when it's on as when it's off. And couple of years ago, maybe more than a couple of years ago, we did the math and we called up the Public Service Commission and found out how many cable boxes are there in New York State. And then we added up all the cable boxes in New York State and we measured 10 of them to see how much electricity they use when they're on and when they're off. And again, they use the same amount of electricity. And we figured out that the Indian Point nuclear power plants were using 25% of their generating capacity just to keep cable boxes running when they're off.
And 25% of their capacity just happens to be what kind of advice from them.
Yeah. Well, statewide, that's about so it's an amazing amount of energy. One person I was speaking with at a national conference said, if you want to save energy in your apartment, look at all the blinking red lights and the blinking blue lights and green lights and shut them off. Unplug them. I just got a printer for my computer. I haven't had one in 20 years. It was given to me as a gift, and I'm worried about what that's going to do. My electric bill. I'm turning it. I have it off most of the time. You know, I turn it on. I print one page. I shut it off because I don't want to print. I want to, you know, but some things I have to print. And I was getting tired of printing at Staples and walking down the street and picking it up. So these are the kind of things that I think everybody can do. And, you know, and like your mom said, turn your lights off when you're not using them and turn the water off when you're not using them.
I'm very curious about your printer, because the printer that we have, it does not have an inverter plug. It's got a regular plug. It does not have a display or use a remote. So that makes me think it's not using electricity when it's off. Well, I could be wrong on that.
I'm going to plug mine into a meter, and I'll get back to you on the next show. Okay.
And there's a little gadget called the SaverWatt that can measure how much electricity something uses when it's off or when it's on?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I have three or four of those. And I'm sure that Home Depot carries them. Amazon has them. You know, they're very simple little meters, and they tell you how much electricity they're using in kilowatt hours. You have to figure out what a kilowatt hour is, because that always confuses
people. Well, so the teacher is listening right now. That makes a great little bit in a lesson where they can see, because the kids will be amazed that it's using electricity, but you just turned it off.
It shocks me. I do some work with the High School for Green Careers, a really good high school on 84th Street.
Yeah, I've had them on the show. Yeah,
they're great kids. And the teachers that work there are just really doing God's work. But I was teaching a class a few years ago to the kids. And after the kids, I was doing the exact same class for adults.
Hmm.
And so I said to the kids, okay, here's what a kilowatt hour is. Here's what BTUs per square foot per heating degree day is. And I was teaching them fourth grade math. And they're like, come on, we understand this. We get it. We can do this. And I said, okay, the adults are coming in now. When the adults come in, watch when I start doing the fourth grade math. And watch the adults freak out. And the minute I started doing kilowatts, you know, is 1,000 watts, and 1,000 watts in an hour is a kilowatt hour, and did the math, and all the adults' hands shoot up, and the kids are in the back of the class cracking up, because they're like, right. And that's a big problem, that adults can't do this simple math, and they're the ones that have to make the investment. Don't ask a banker to do math without a calculator. They can't do it in their heads.
Yeah, I read one of my environmental articles to a group of people at a library, and it was really bothered that I was using words like 25% and 50% instead of one quarter and one half. They could understand one half or a quarter of something. They couldn't understand 25% or 50%.
Some people don't like fractions either.
And these are people in libraries. These are people read and write. And we know that a lot of Americans do not read. They do not write.
Yes.
And so I'm thinking, well, if these people don't know what a percentage is, then maybe very, very few people know. So if you're listening and you know that 50% means half, you're way ahead of most Americans, apparently.
Well, I had to get advertisers years ago in the window industry to stop saying that windows save 40%, because there's no proof to that.
Oh.
You know, and windows are not a cost-effective investment in any building. They're like the last thing to do. It's usually in a single-family house, it's better to insulate the walls in the attic. In most buildings, it's better to find the big holes, as my friend Joe Stiebrick says, find hole, seal hole. Very, very simple stuff to do. And anytime I go through a building and I'm walking, doing an energy audit, I'm always saying, okay, where's the big hole? Where am I going to find it? And sometimes the hole is, you know, 10 by 10, and it jumps out at you. But you find it after a long, long look. And sometimes it's the size of two Mack trucks.
Hmm.
And it sneaks up on you.
Yeah, Amory Levin said that the average American home, if you add up all the cracks in the holes, it has a hole in it 3 feet by 3 feet.
I think that's an underestimate. I think that's but you know, I was talking to a group of very educated building managers and architects the other day, and I said, windows don't save 40%. In fact, I've never seen an audit where they save better than 5. And they will save 40% if there's no windows in the building. But you've got to understand typically what windows are. unless you're a new glass building. Yeah.
I've watched the prefab houses being put up just because I'm fascinated that they take this big, you know, they take a wall that's already made.
Yeah.
And you know, join it with another wall that's already made. And then I look at it and I'm going, the corner doesn't meet. The two corners are just sort of like near each other. They're not actually touching.
Depends on the manufacturer.
Well, yeah.
Some of the manufacturers send buildings to you that are so tight, it's absolutely amazing.
Well, these were walls, mm-hmm. and it was up to the builders to put the walls together into a house. And they put the walls up, and they were next to each other, but they didn't touch.
Human error.
And when I saw that once, I was like, boy, they did a bad job. And then I was watching another site someplace else, totally different town, maybe a different city. And I saw the same thing. You know, it's like they're in such a hurry to put these up. I guess they have, you know, deadlines or quotas or something. And they just put them up, and then they put siding on the outside so you can't tell that the two walls are not actually touching.
Some of the panelized buildings I've seen in the city are some of the best buildings I've ever seen built anywhere. And they're super efficient if they're done right.
If they're done right.
Just like everything else. Just like everything else if they're done right.
But it seems that if they're done right is the minority. It's strange, and somebody showed me pictures of his home being built, and yeah, it was the first home that he ever owned that he got to see built, and I saw the same thing, the walls didn't touch, and the ceiling and the roof didn't quite touch either. There was a big hole where the two walls and the roof met, and that was then covered with siding, so you couldn't tell that there was a hole there, and I guess the siding blocked some of the draft, but it couldn't have blocked it all. Because there's no wall there.
Well, it's kind of like when
I don't want to put down the entire construction industry.
No. I definitely don't want to do that. There's really good people in the construction industry, and there's really good people. It's sort of like when I'm sitting in my computer and I can't get something done, and my friend comes over and he fixes it in a second. And I say to him, "What was the problem?" He said, "It was a picnic problem." And I said, "What's a picnic problem?" And he says, "Problem in chair, not in computer." So I have another Jeopardy question for you.
Okay. And you're listening to Ecologic on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. We are here every week. The schedule's been changed. We're here every week from 8 to 9. And I'm Ken Gale, and I'm with Andy Padian, who is an energy consultant and energy expert, and has been doing what he can for years now to lower energy use in the city of New York and surrounding areas. And we'll give you a way to contact him at the end of the show.
I think I've counted about 30 states where I've done energy audits of buildings.
30? So, wow.
Yeah. I did one in Alaska a few years ago. That was fun. But in New York City, I want to ask you, what is the tallest LEED certified building in New York City?
Oh, I have no idea.
Well, the last time I heard it was the Bank of America building at Bryant Park. And that one is LEED Platinum, I think. So it can't get any better than that, according to LEED. And my second Jeopardy question is, what building uses the most energy per square foot of any building in the five boroughs?
Is it that one?
It's that one. So certifications don't mean energy efficiency. And I think we have to start looking at certification of buildings with energy first. I'm concerned about the ratings of buildings that we use the energy use index.
I asked Henry Gifford, he was complaining about LEED certification. And
Henry will go on for days about that.
And I said, is like you know, lead standards on a point system, and you get, you know, so many points, and you're silver, and a few more points, you're gold, and a few more points, you're platinum. And I said, is it the same as that you get as much points for insulation as you do for a bike rack? And he goes, oh, no, you don't get any points for insulation.
No, you get it for overall building performance or modeled.
That's right. He says you don't have to show whether the building works or not. You just have to write it down.
Ultimately, now you have to.
Oh, you do have to have to now.
You have to show after the building's running that it's achieving somewhere around what the model is.
Oh.
But it's very hard to model buildings. And I've only done models of existing buildings. And it's really interesting to do a model of existing building because you know what the fuel use is in that building. And then you build a model of that building, and you have to true up your model to what the energy usage actually is.
Right. You have to make your model reflect real life.
Right. And that ends up being about building temperature and building leakage and all kinds of things that, you know, you may not know the answer to. So I'd like to see there was a really good study done on the new glass buildings. And there's a lot of people that tell me, oh, the glass buildings are still really efficient. And, you know, they've got some numbers they throw around. And, okay, you know, the Bank of America building isn't one of those, and it's all glass. But actually, people that believe in, you know, high-performance buildings and believe in glass buildings went around and started taking pictures of the glass buildings. And they found that on average, 60 to 70% of the shades are drawn in glass buildings. So people really don't want to live in glass houses. And I know when I'm in a place that has a lot of glass, when it's at night, I want the shades drawn. When it's during the day, depending on whether I'm north, south, east, and west, I mean, my apartment has a lot of north light, and it's glorious because it's reflective and it lights the room really well. I also lived in an apartment that had south light, and it was wonderful on a cold winter day. It was not wonderful on an August day, you know. So you, when you have all glass, you have to put up a lot of shades or – or our old pal Soupy Sales used to say, people that live in glass houses dress in the basement.
And, well, we have like 5 minutes left. What would you recommend people do?
Homeowners, renters, building owners?
All the above.
I would like to see building owners actually look at – I would like to see everybody actually look at their energy usage. Most people pay their bills electronically now. They don't actually get a paper bill. My friend that moved out of the city to Saratoga, he gets his bills all electronically. We spent an hour trying to get his bills off the NIMO it's not Niagara Mohawk anymore. It's National Grid website. It took us 20 minutes to do to get to it. But we found out. And I'm very detailed about getting my usage from Con Edison. So I know how to do it now. But it takes time. Most of my clients can't do it.
Yeah, you at, there was a conference that you spoke at, and you challenged everybody. You know, what how much electricity do you use every month? And my wife and I did not know, and so we've been looking at it ever since. And you mentioned what yours was. It was under 100.
I use about 80 kilowatt hours a month on average,
and that's about what we use.
Oh, you're doing well.
So when I remember you being under 100, and at the time, when we had our old refrigerator, we were over 100. Now we're under 100.
Oh, yeah. The refrigerator makes it. I changed my refrigerator. It made
when
a
we
big
changed
difference.
Our refrigerator, it's amazing how much energy it saved by getting a newer Energy Star model refrigerator.
Yeah. And everybody says it's the most expensive. And I went down to the store and I looked around and I wanted an 18 cubic foot and I wanted Energy Star. And after looking for about a half an hour, I finally said to the sales guy, I'm like, what's the cheapest one you have? He's like, this one. It was the highest rated Energy Star one, and it was the cheapest on the floor. No bells, no whistles, no ice maker, no water in the door. You know, the ice maker and the water in the door what really brings up your energy usage.
We didn't do. I mean, well, ours wasn't the cheapest, but it certainly wasn't the most expensive. But it also, we didn't know how many different levels of Energy Star there were. It was interesting lesson in refrigerators and energy. It's interesting because you can read about it and you can talk to an Andypadian, but when you're buying a refrigerator and you look at your own bill, boy, do you learn a lot about refrigerators.
That's another thing. My friend who just bought a house said, you know, our washing machine is down and our dryer is down. I've got to buy new ones. I said, please buy a front load washing machine. It uses half the water. It uses half the electricity. It uses half the soap. It gets the clothes cleaner, and it wrings the clothes out better. He said, the guy at the store didn't tell us that. Like, the guy at the store wanted to sell you the expensive one that had bells and whistles on it that wasn't a front load. And I said, make sure you buy a gas dryer. He's like, well, we have an electric dryer. I'm like, you have gas 20 feet from where your dryer is, so you're going to have a plumber come and pipe the gas over to it. But electricity is 5 and 6 times the cost of gas. And you put a gas dryer in, and you're going to dry your clothes a lot faster and a lot more efficiently and a lot less expensively.
And so how can people contact you?
The easiest way to do it is via email. I'm Andy Padian, so I work as Apadian, P-A-D-I-A-N, at Gmail. That's the easiest way to get
me. Say that again slowly because people are writing it down.
Apadian at Gmail. After the last show I did with you, I got 3 emails from people that really needed help right away. And one of them needed help. They needed someone to yell at. And that worked for them that day. And another desperately needed help with their co-op reducing energy usage. I'm like, fine, just pull your bills together and, you know, here's the stuff. Sure. If you need help doing it, I'm happy to help you do it. And 8 emails and they fell off the planet Earth. I've got one more building that I'm working on. Right. The building had a lot of trouble, so we're going to fix it, but it'll take a long time.
So coming up next is Out FM here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. And I think I'll go out with something different. This is Susie Holds On by Saxon, because it's an optimistic song.
The sun, how bright it shines on the nations of the earth. All who share this thing called life celebrate each day's rebirth.
So solar power, inexpensive energy.